Today's Mass is being offered for the poet's soul of Rosie Cabrales. Are you awake this morning? No, you're not. No, you're not. Well, at least you're at least zombified enough to where you can shake your head, some of you. Good. Well, it's good to wake up just a little bit here in the morning. It's not that early, is it? You'd already be in school if this was a Thursday, wouldn't it be? Yeah, you'd already be in school at this point. So, do you normally sleep your first period class? Okay, so it's normal for you. And now I understand how things are. Now I understand why some of those marks are the way that they are in your grading on your report cards and whatnot. Oh, you went there. Yeah, I did. Good. Well, it's good to see you in this morning. We're beginning the second day of our retreat, the first full day of what's been going on. And what we're asking of the Lord is that he would show you what it is that he's calling you to do. Do you remember, does anybody remember last night that one phrase that I had you repeat quite a number of times? Does anybody remember it? It came from the psalm. It came from the psalm of yesterday. And it said, "My heart is ready, O God. My heart is ready." You remember saying that a bunch of times? "My heart is ready, O God. My heart is ready." And so that should be the thing which you're saying this morning, maybe a little bit flaggingly, meaning you don't got a lot of energy. Saying, "My heart really isn't ready, O God, but I know it should be. I don't even know where I am right now. I'm still trying to wake up because Joanne hasn't fed me any breakfast burritos yet or whatever else is going to be going on. I don't know. Is that what it is this morning?" All right. See, I know what's going on even though I don't know what's going on. To say, "My heart is ready." And this follows through with exactly what we're asking you. We talked about confirmation. And in confirmation, you're to be overshadowed. You're to be overcome. You're to be strengthened, which is what the word confirmation means, by what person of the Most Holy Trinity? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that's right. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to come over you to give you strength to be able to go forward. And that's going to be the energizing force that's going to lead you beyond. And the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to you, not just on this retreat and not just on the day of your confirmation, but he is the one who Christ speaks about within the sacred scripture, saying that he will send you as another paraclete, another person to walk alongside you. You ever feel like you don't know what you're supposed to do next? Feel like that? Feel lost and saying, "Where am I? How did I even get here? And where's the way out of this difficulty that I'm in?" You feel that sometimes? Well, what you should come to understand through your faith is that we have somebody who's been given to us, not just that we have to throw our prayers to heaven. When you pray, is that what you imagine, that somehow you just kind of throw a prayer up to God who's somewhere in heaven and he's going to grab it, maybe listen to it, or maybe say, "Nah, I don't think you need that," and toss it away? It feels that way, that we got to take our prayer and somehow throw it up to the heavens, and then it'll come down. That's why oftentimes when we pray, we look up, right? But is God up there in the ceiling? Not really, not really. Is God down there on the floor where you're looking some of the other time, or your shoes? Not really. What you should come to understand is that God is actually the closer to you than you are to yourself. God is closer to you than you are to yourself. And so when you're praying, you don't have to throw your prayer all the way up to heaven to be able to reach up there. Because if you're baptized, is everybody in here baptized? Even you, Cadence? Who baptized you? Did it work? All right. I baptized you and it did work. That's good. The only person in this room that I baptized, I'm pretty sure. And so in that baptism, what it meant is that Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God himself came to live within your soul. Came to live really, actually within you. And so when you feel that you need to pray, when you feel that the need to commune with God, when you feel the need to be able to reach out for some answer that you yourself don't have, you don't have to throw your prayer all the way up to the sky to be able to do so, to have contact with him. In truth, God already lives in your soul. And so really, you get to communicate him within the silence even of yourself. And now this isn't to say that you yourselves are gods. No, it's not that. There's a movement within the world that says that, well, we are just gods and I have to self-actualize and bring the inner God out. No. That's heresy. That's not the way it works. God is distinct from you and me. But yet, he chooses to inhabit, meaning to live, in your soul and mine. And your soul and mine can't contain the fullness of who God is, because just as much as God lives in me, God lives in Dylan. And just as much as God lives in Dylan, he lives in Gianna. And just as much as God lives in Gianna, he lives even in Arthur. He's about to fall asleep right now. Go ahead and slap your cheek a little bit. There you go. Okay. Good. Making sure you're still awake. God lives in you. And so, because of that, you don't have to reach at a great distance to be able to find him. So, to pray these prayers, I gave you that prayer right there, "My heart is ready, O God, my heart is ready." I want to give you... Where was it? I wanted to give you another thing to pray with. Here in our first reading, St. Paul was having a vision. He was having a vision. He had just gone through all this. It says that he went to Lystra and Iconium, and they spoke well of him, and that he went through this whole place, and the churches grew stronger and stronger, and they increased in number, and then they traveled to this place called Phrygia and Galatia territory, because they were prevented by the Holy Spirit from preaching in the province of Asia, and going all these places, and you hear these words, Bithynia, and all these other wild places, Tarsus and Troas and Mysia. Do you know where any of these places are? What about Danny? She reads the Bible a lot. Do you know where any of these places are? Not even Danny knows. Not even Danny knows. These are all little tiny cities that exist in Greece. And they're all throughout this Grecian area that he's going to. And he's saying, "I went to this place and I went to that place and I was trying to go over here, but I was prevented by the Spirit. And so I went here and I went there and I had these other things going on." And so he's going all over preaching the gospel and to be able to lead people into Christ. And then all of a sudden, he gets a vision. He's in prayer. It says when he came to Mysia, they tried to go on to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So they crossed through Mycenae and came to a place called Troas. Now during the night, Paul had a vision. And in that vision, it says a Macedonian came. This is like northern, right above Greece. Macedonian came to him and said, "Help us. Help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, we immediately sought a way to find passage into Macedonia, concluding that God called us to proclaim the good news even there. Have any of you ever received a vision? If you have, you're not going to fess up to it. I know right now. You received a vision from God, where God said, you wake up in the middle of the night, or you wake up in the morning, or you're just going about your everyday, and all of a sudden, you have this sudden realization that, wow, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is the direction I'm supposed to go with my life. Have you ever had that, something like that, where you say, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I'm supposed to do this thing, and it's a good thing? You ever had that? Well, it may not surprise you, but I have had that. I've had that in a way, and I know that some of you have, because some of you have silently indicated by little facial gestures that you have. When I've had an experience of this, knowing exactly what it is that I'm supposed to do, there was one time when I was trying to think about which one I want to share with you. So right after college, I had an experience in prayer where I'd wake up every morning while I was working in a real estate agency. I was managing a real estate company. And in that time, day after day, morning after morning, I had the same exact dream over and over again. You know what that dream was? The dream was that I was supposed to go to a place called Los Alamos, New Mexico. And going to Los Alamos, New Mexico, I was supposed to become their youth minister, the one who's in charge of their confirmation and youth program. And not only that, but I was told exactly what I was supposed to do. That I was supposed to set up a program in this particular way. That we were supposed to do these particular things. And that it was going to be a 3-year program that I was going to set up and to be able to do. And this is how it was going to be, and this is how it would be successful. Day after day, night after night, I would have this exact same dream when I'd wake up in the morning and I'd realize it. And I'd go, wow, that is so interesting. That is so interesting. Why am I getting this dream, this vision of something that's going on? Had I ever been to Los Alamos in my life? I hadn't, not to my knowledge. Had I received any sort of job offer saying that, here, we want you to leave this real estate company and to go and join a church and work for them? I hadn't got that. The only thing that I had ever heard was a side conversation from my best friend, who was my youth minister at my present parish, who had mentioned, oh yeah, they're looking for a youth minister. One time I heard that. But night after night, day after day, I heard this, which I can only assume was from God, and that this is what I was supposed to do, and this is how it would be successful. Like, I was getting a series of plans that this was how it was supposed to work out. And so, not knowing what to do with that, my boss called me up one day and said, Christopher, you're screwing up real badly. And I was screwing up just a little bit badly. Little mistakes that cost the business a small amount of money, but little tiny things. And so he decided to motivate me and say, I need you to find, do you really want to do this job, or do I need to look for somebody else? He was really just trying to motivate me. And he pulled me aside and said, I just want you to go ahead. Look, it's lunchtime. You go ahead and take off lunch right now. Spend your hour in lunch and think about it. Pray about whatever it is that you want to do. And then you come back here and you tell me whether you want to continue in this position or I need to look for somebody else. He's my old soccer coach, my old coach. So he's trying to motivate me in some sort of way to be able to light a fire under my backside to work all the harder. And so I go. And what do? I go and spend an entire evening, the entire lunch period fasting. So I'm not going to take any food. Say, wow, this is a big decision that I've got to make. And I don't know where to go, but I just went to the church where I could be alone with the Blessed Sacrament, like adoration, like you're going to do tonight. And spending that time alone in adoration and in prayer, the whole hour there fasting, so not taking any food. I just knew that was what I was supposed to do. And in prayer, I came back from that very same thing. And I told him, which should probably be really obviously where I'm going with this, told him, thanks, boss. I've really enjoyed the opportunity you've given me here to work here for the last almost a year. I've done a lot, but it looks, God wants me to become the youth minister in Los Alamos. And I'm supposed to go there, and he's given me a 3-year plan of what I'm supposed to do and how it's going to be successful. So I think that's where I'm supposed to go. And you can imagine what happened to this boss of mine. All of a sudden, his jaw drops. He says, what? What are you talking about? Doofus, which is what he called me. That was his pet name for me. He called me Doofus. He said, Doofus, this was a motivational exercise. You're just supposed to come in and do what it is to work hard in what you're doing. You're not supposed to say that you got something else. You got another job offer or things like that. Nope, I don't got anything. Just, I've been getting dreams for the past week or so that I'm supposed to be the youth minister in Los Alamos, that God's going to bless it in this way, and this is exactly what I'm supposed to do, and it's a 3-year program. Stunned, he didn't know what to do. And so he turned to me and said, well, Christopher, I can't fight God. So if God is calling you to do this, then you better do it. But now we got to find your replacement. To fast forward through the story, I went a week later, took a day off, went to Los Alamos. They hired me on the spot. They hired me on the spot and saying, wow, how'd you even find out that this was even a position here and that you're absolutely perfect in every way for our position? We don't understand why you would have come here. And so that went forward. And eventually, that led me to here. I set up a 3-year program, but God didn't tell me I was going to do it for 3 years. Everything happened exactly the way it was, in my dreams. And God asked me to do so. So God speaks in these ways. And I want you to know that God is speaking to you right now. Now, I don't know that any of you are going to be going to go to sleep tonight, wake up in the morning and have a vision and saying, wow, I'm called to be a youth minister way off in Tucumcari. You might. If you do, that'd be really cool. And I will definitely support you in that venture. But you got to graduate high school first. I don't know what God's going to do with you in this way, but God speaks through visions and God speaks through dreams. And God actually does have a plan and he calls you and he will reveal it to you when you seek him. When you seek him. If I didn't say yes to that movement that was there, I could have easily said, I got a great deal right here. My boss loves me. He's my best friend. He wants me to work on his spiritual life. He's helping me in so many ways. He's my old soccer coach. This is the greatest thing in the world. I can do this. And I'm good at it. And it pulls out my creativity, even when I screw up from time to time. But when God spoke, I knew that the only reason I exist is to do whatever it is that he has planned for me, because that's going to work out best for me and best for those who are around me. And so to take that leap, that step, to say, God, you want it, so I want it too. And the way in which I was able to hear God and to listen to his voice and to go, which eventually led me a year later after taking that position to leave there into the seminary and to become a priest, through lots of other things that I don't have time to tell you about right now, probably gone a little bit too long, is because in silence and prayer, I was saying, without saying these words, but having the same intention that was going on through my prayer time each and every day, my heart is ready, oh God, my heart is ready. I'm ready for what you want, oh God, I'm ready for you. If you've got something for me today, Lord, I want to listen to that. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I want what you want, oh God. And throughout the course of this retreat, and throughout the course of these days, through the course of your confirmed life, God is going to be speaking to you. And the only attitude that you have to be able to hear something from him, and to be able to receive the motivation to be able to go forward and do what it is he's planned for you, is just to have that simple attitude of, God, I want what you want. My heart is ready. My heart is ready for you. And so what happened in the life of St. Paul is that he eventually did go out there to Macedonia. He eventually did go out there to preach to them. And he brought the good news to those people who, without his work, never would have had it. And there became a very successful, beautiful Catholic church that was built there in Macedonia. Because he heard the word of God and responded to it. I don't know what it is that God is calling you to do. I don't know what vision he might have in store for you, or what dreams, or what plans, or what purposes he has in store for you. Maybe you don't either, and that's fine. But your task is only to build up something through it, through the God who lives within you, who comes to dwell within you, to say, Lord, my heart is ready. My heart is ready. Whatever it is that you want from me today in this retreat, that's what I want. And then tomorrow, to say the exact same thing. Lord God, my heart is ready. My heart is ready. Whatever it is that you want from me, that's what I want today. And then to say it again on Monday. And Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, dot, dot, dot. And if you say that each and every day, you may not receive a vision every single day, which are uncommon things, but you will have a heart that's disposed to listening to God. And once you're able to listen to God, then you can begin to follow God. And once you begin to follow God, then you can begin to see good works come out of you. And when those good works begin to come out of you, you can begin to see not just your life change, but the lives of those who are around you change. This is the work that confirmation is supposed to accomplish within you. It's supposed to strengthen you so that you can be the soldier for Christ that God has called you to be, and then to go forward and to accomplish those good works which God has already prepared for you in advance. I can testify to that through my own life. And when you pray the same prayer, you'll be able to testify it with your life as well. Let's pray again, just as we prayed at the conclusion of yesterday's sermon, to pray that prayer again, except for this time, I'd like you to use your mouths to pray and your voice box as well. I said it'll be out loud. Will that be all right, Evangeline? That's a head nod. Okay. But pray it with me. My heart is ready, O God. My heart is ready. Together. My heart is ready, O God. My heart is ready. We repeat it together. It's one phrase that's repeated twice. Together. My heart is ready, O God. My heart is ready. Again. My heart is ready, O God. My heart is ready. One more time. My heart is ready, O God. My heart is ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,